superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Let's land here for a minute.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What was it called?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Which is the oddest mashup of a Jay-Z song I've ever heard.
It's your boy.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Tell me Kansas City plays Miami. Just say it. Just tell me what I want to hear.
I don't believe that they do.
They don't?
They don't.
Oh.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, legendary actor James Caan, still to come from Paramount Plus's Halo, actor Pablo Schreiber, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Pablo Schreiber in the new show Halo will be coming out here shortly to have a great chat with us here. On a day that I'll be very honest with you, I'm sorely disappointed that we haven't had a blockbuster NFL moment. It's just like, what's going on?
I mean, it's like, geez.
What the hell? You know, I don't know what. I just don't know what's left.
We got spoiled, Rich.
Oh, wait a minute.
We woke up yesterday, though, not even thinking Tyreek Hill was on the block.
I know what's left,
and he gets moved.
There's one last piece of this non-playing season that could actually be the biggest piece of them all.
Tebow?
No.
Wagner?
No, not Bobby Wagner, and it's not.
Is it a trade or is it a?
It would be an acquisition. It would be taking this person off of his couch, and his potential. One would say, I think, easily say, blackball list. Colin Kaepernick. If Colin Kaepernick winds up with the Seattle Seahawks, because that's something that he is openly advocating for. Now, that's the two things that you hear about Colin Kaepernick all the time. Is just like, well, how good does he kind of look? In that's always applied to Colin Kaepernick when it's not applied to, say, Taylor Heineke, when the Washington football team, as it used to be known back in the day, took him off the couch. Well,
Rich, that's because Taylor Heineke led a team to the Super Bowl.
Oh, wait. No, he didn't.
No, he
didn't. He did not.
He did not do that.
No, no.
Okay, no, my bad.
Remember Taylor Heineke came off the couch because they needed somebody, because Alex Smith and then the rest of that, roster was Kyle Allen wasn't available to him. So let's take Taylor Heineke off the couch. But nobody's just like, well, how does he look? That's always the question about Kaepernick.
Always.
And then another question about Kaepernick is like, well, he doesn't say he really wants to come back. How do we know he really wants to play? And that, I think, is kind of a fair criticism, because he has not at all pounded the table except that one time when he said he wanted a tryout and then things went really weird about it.
Yeah.
Remember that in Atlanta, it was all set up by the NFL. Like, you got to show up here at this time. We're going to make sure all the teams show up there. And then Kaepernick changed the location of it at the last minute. And it was like a 2.5 hour drive for everybody else to come find. It was really weird. The whole thing was weird. But he was working out yesterday with in Seattle, Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, he had thrown, was it last week he threw with Tyler Lockett?
Tyler Lockett.
I think in Lockett's brother, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Tyler Lockett. And then yesterday he was throwing and spoke to the media afterwards, actually.
He did.
Go ahead and roll it right here.
Been getting positive responses. You know, trainers that we've seen, organizations that my agent has talked to. Does that look good? My arm's still alive, still ready to go. So, again, more than anything, we're just looking for that opportunity to come in, get some work in, and show them what I can do. And, you know, more than anything is we want that opportunity to showcase where I'm at and let decisions be made from there. Not yet. Still waiting for that chance.
Still hopeful?
Still hopeful. So, you know, there's been a lot of conversation around it. Again, we've had conversations with Pete and John previously. As Pete mentioned, we've spoken recently and still hoping that door is open and get a chance to walk through it.
Oh, boy.
He's 34.
Fine.
Yeah.
So what?
Exactly. Let him play.
He was working with Seahawks wide receiver Alan Fuller and Washington running back Kamari Pleasant. It looked like to me in the indoor facility at the University of Washington is what it looked like to me. Oh, come on now.
Looked like to me that he is jacked.
I mean, he looks, he's in great shape still.
Jeez. Guys, okay, it's not 2017 anymore. It's not. It's not 2016 anymore. It's not the crazy-ass world. It's still a crazy-ass world. But it's if the guy wants to play, you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody who has a resume quite like his. And just one last thing. Anybody who would say, I would not watch that team. I wonder anybody who would say, I would not. I would root against that person. I would root against that team. It's an offense to me. It's an offense to all of us. After all this time, think about what you also say about cancel culture.
Okay? I appreciate you saying that so much.
Think about what you say about cancel culture. People who say that. I would say 100% of the people who say I would not watch that team rails against cancel culture whenever they have a chance.
They created the cancel culture, bro.
So I just want everyone to be real about that.
That's why I like you, Rich Eisen.
Right back at you, TJ Jefferson. So that's what's going on in the NFL world, part of it. The NBA world. Okay.
Oh boy.
Now
this was awesome.
How often do you see
meet courtside the Lakers?
I mean, no. How often do you see a head coach and a player yell in a huddle? We've seen it, right? We've seen players bark in huddles. We've seen them, you know, and it's very rare though to see a head coach and a player bark at each other in a huddle. Certainly when you could see the head coach is mouthing the words, "You really want to F and fight me?" Like is like, okay. And so that's clearly what Eric Spoelstra was saying to Jimmy Butler last night as the team was falling down by hefty double digits against the Golden State Warriors at home. And
with no Steph.
And whatever Butler said to Spoelstra also caught the ear of Udonis Haslam, who, as you know, is, let me just look this up. Let me just Google this. He is, let me Google it.
In his 30th year?
No, he is old as dirt, is what it says here.
He's so old. UD.
And so he's there to, you know, provide a spark if necessary, be there as a veteran presence, be there as a guiding light, or be there as somebody to tell Jimmy Butler to shut up.
And not in those words.
Okay. And the one thing is that you normally see the players go at it and the coaches get in between, not like the coach chime in and continue it when Jimmy Butler left the huddle during this timeout, got left the huddle to go on the floor because he was being separated from Haslam. Spoelstra went out, turned around and went out on the floor to continue it with Jimmy Butler.
Threw his clipboard down.
And like Gronk spiked his clipboard.
Yeah, and then went after him.
And so, again, this is all very rare in this part, too. This is the number one seeded team in the Eastern Conference with a couple weeks to go before the playoffs begin.
Such a shame to see.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to see that.
Now, they're only a game and a half up on TJ's Sixers, which is why you're hearing him say it's such a shame. The Bucks, who are a game and a half out as well, and Brockman Celtics are a game and a half out as well. It's up for grabs. Bucks have already said Giannis and Chris Middleton are out tonight. They're not playing tonight. So I don't know if seeding matters to some of these players anymore. You got to get them healthy for the long run or just to screw me over in my fantasy league. Chris Middleton, man. So let me remove myself. I'm sorry.
You've been on Chris Middleton all season.
I mean, he finally scored a 40-point game just like 2 weeks ago. At any rate.
But that home court, that one seed's going to matter in the East.
Well, unless you might not want to see the Nets coming out at you right away, out of the gate.
Yes, maybe.
Because Kyrie's now going to be playing home games. But let's not throw ourselves off of the main task at hand, is that it went off the rails in Miami last night. And Spoelstra, again, like, the coach is the one who's supposed to just, like, calm it down.
Diffuse the situation.
But he, whatever Butler said to him, set him off, man. And he was just the alpha, you know, male against another alpha male that just wouldn't back down. And this is what he had to say after the game last night.
It was pretty clear. Like, we have a very competitive, gnarly group, and we're getting our kicked, and it's two straight games. We were not playing to the level that we wanted to play. And I would say virtually every single person in that huddle was pretty animated about, you know, our disappointment in how we were playing. I know how it can probably look, you know, to the outside, but as I've mentioned before, that is more our language than playing without passion or without toughness or without multiple efforts and a lifelessness. You know, everything that happened in that hole from there on, when we cut the 19-point lead, that's way more to our personality.
I'd rather have a major conflagration in our huddle and me barking at Jimmy Butler and threatening to fight him, or he's threatening to fight me. I'd rather have that than nothing at all. I'd rather have that than just flatline.
Right, apathy. I guess is worse, I guess.
You know what? And then I'm just wondering if there was, what would it have been if there was a 24/7, 365 sports talk world, a split screen hashtag, split screen. Topic bar, sports television world, hashtag social media world, where you could just take a video and pop it out to millions of people on their phones right away. Shows like this one over and over and over again, just chewing everything up. If that existed in 1977 and 78 in the Bronx, New York.
Oh, man.
If there was an at the boss Twitter handle for George Steinbrenner. If there was at Mr. October then, as there currently is actually his Twitter handle maybe right now for Reggie Jackson. Oh, yeah. You know, I don't know if Billy Martin would have tweeted for himself.
Oh, he would have. Greg would have been on a bender and just like, this guy Steinbrenner.
Greg Nettles definitely wouldn't have had any social media accounts at all. Okay. But I'm just, so... I will just counsel against saying this is a sign of total dysfunction and the Heat are not going to do a damn thing in the playoffs, you know. But it doesn't look good.
No, but it seems like they thrive on this type of stuff.
It's difficult to say, you know, hey, you know, what happened in the huddle is a sign of who we are. That's our language. That's how we talk to one another, right? When it spills out of the huddle and it's still between the coach and star player, you know. And that's weird. That's wild. That's weird, wild stuff to use this, you know, the old SNL Carson phrase. But we'll see. We'll see.
Guys, I think Arias Consulting just came up with another great idea.
Yeah. What is that?
Well, 1978 Yankees, we need a winning time type series to go back and look at it. Pablo's in the back.
Tried that, right?
He stars in it. He's with us. And we make something happen.
I'm told he's a Jet fan, so maybe he's got some thoughts
Billy
on
Martin. I know he's tall, but
another idea came out of that too.
We know he was good in a mustache.
What's that, Mike?
Well, you could do old Twitter. What it would have been like?
Oh yeah.
I like that.
I think
idea.
RS Consulting coming up with a Yankees version of Winning Time. Wait,
that's it. That's, as soon as you said it, I was like, I would love to see that.
I remember ESPN tried that with The Bronx is Burning.
Well, it's an actual real book, and I read that book.
Yeah. And that was an RS Consulting.
Chris. Yeah, but that was back when ESPN was doing, you know.
The Bobby Knight one.
I mean, Brian Denny is Bobby Knight. I was there for that. That was no bueno.
You look less than impressed.
I was there. Hey, man, all those Super Bowl parties that ESPN has right now where all the stars go to and everything going to. I was at the first ESPN Super Bowl party in New Orleans. That was the I think it was the
you and I met?
No, it was the Patriots. It was the Patriots. No, I wasn't there for the Packers. I was there for it was the Patriots and the Rams.
Oh.
Okay.
That was the first one they had?
Well, that was the first Super Bowl party they had.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, ESPN was, you know, the ESPYs was their first foray into that sort of world, really, Mike. I mean, you know, so they were just beginning to start getting into the world of, like, we have to have our own parties and our own world and whatever and just get out of the whole, we're just a sports network thing. Just focus on the E of ESPN, which is entertainment. And I just remember it was a party in New Orleans, and it was used to celebrate the Season on the Brink movie with Brian Dennehy, but Brian Dennehy wasn't the big draw and star there. It was Denny Crum for some reason. I was actually partying in the Super Bowl with Denny Crum, and we all had, and it was all, I was like, I was on Bourbon Street, and I watched Denny Crum throw beads onto Bourbon Street. It was not a hot party. Okay? I have, in fact,
seen Denny Crum throw beads
into the crowd at Bourbon Street. Okay?
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That's happened.
Fine. I mean,
that's happened. And I've come back from that.
But did you see the result of the beads being thrown by Denny
Crum? Hey!
Yeah, they hit the ground.
Oh, yeah. That's not what I wanted to hear.
Sorry, brother. The family show as well. All right, we'll take a break. The hot show Halo, Pablo Schreiber, is here on the Rich Eisen Show. I can't wait to talk about The Wire with him as well. We'll go down memory lane and current lane with Pablo coming up. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. But joining us here in person, in studio, great to see you, sir. Big fan of yours from back in the day on The Wire. Orange is the New Black. And now Halo, available for streaming today on Paramount+. man who plays the role of Master Chef Pablo Schreiber here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, sir.
The Master Chef, yeah.
You are here. Good to see you, man.
Yeah, nice to see you. Thank you for having me.
I mean, Master Chief, pardon me.
No, no, it's you're not the first.
Did I really say that?
You're not the first.
Master Chief, my bad. Good to see you.
Thank you. Nice to see you.
By the way, the success of this show was apparent by the fact that I was in SoFi Stadium watching the end of the AFC Championship game.
Yep.
Between the Chiefs and the Bengals on the big screen.
Yep.
And what was trending on my phone wasn't just the game.
Right.
But the trailer that debuted in the AFC Championship game for Halo.
Yeah, they did a big activation in that game. It was awesome.
Man.
Unfortunately, the schedule didn't quite work out because I wanted it to be for the Chiefs and Bills the week before.
Now that would have been huge.
You know, that was a game.
Oh, my God. No doubt about that. But the trailer racked up 5 million views in just a couple of days. So,
that's a few.
Let's take a look at a clip right here just to start off our conversation again. Halo available for streaming today. The man who plays Master Chief, Pablo Schreiber. A couple things. Is how heavy is that? What you're wearing?
About 55 pounds. But it's not the weight, really. It's actually the fact that you can't lift your arms above your head.
Okay.
It makes you a little bit immobile. That's the challenge of that thing. But we're working on it for second season. It's a great, great costume studio, actually. FBFX Studios, mm-hmm. out of London. They made it for The Martian. They've done the suits for, like, so many great shows. And they do a great job with it. So we're working on it, modifying it.
Okay. So I guess I am mandated to ask you if you played Halo back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. I've answered that question a few times over the last couple of weeks.
I bet you have.
You know, I did. I played in high school. I didn't grow up with TV or video games. I grew up in rural British Columbia in the Canadian Rocky Mountains.
Okay. So
without entertainment. I grew up with trees.
So good old fashioned
nature. Outdoors
nature.
Entertainment. Right. Yeah. Yeah, go outside and
enjoy the
yourself,
photosynthesis, kid.
Yeah. Exactly. Use your imagination. That's why I'm here. Didn't have any of that stuff. So then I went to high school, moved to Seattle for high school when my folks split up and my dad finally got a TV. And I would go to my friends' houses and play some Halo after school. That was my first introduction to it.
Yeah.
But I only played versus mode. I never played it as the story, like campaign mode.
Sure.
So I had no concept of it as a story game.
Sure.
And so as soon as I got the job, which was 2018, my first mission was obviously to go learn about everything Halo and digest all the mythology. And I was like immediately just overwhelmed and blown away by the extent of what's been established over 20 years. And it's not just the six mainline games, right? It's the novels, the animated shorts, through multiple media sources, they've established this like really rich and beautiful mythology.
And then have a passionate fan base already locked
very,
in.
That's, very,
that's
passionate.
Part of the reason why a show gets picked up for a second season before the first one even starts to stream.
It
I'm
is
sure.
First time I've been involved with a show that got picked up before we aired.
Congratulations on that. And so have you already gotten the sense of the, because when you're passionate fan bases, they are so locked in on what's real or what's close to hewing to the their experiences. I don't know if you've gotten that yet.
Well, what's interesting, you know, is this the Master Chief or Master Chef, depending on what. No, I was going to bring my chef hat.
I
honestly.
Appreciate that. My glasses are all jacked up, man, but I should know anyway coming in.
No. I'm not giving you a hard time. The character is hugely iconic, right? Never takes his helmet off in the games because you're meant to be him when you play.
Right.
So if you lose the helmet and show the face, you blow the illusion that you're the guy. So a huge part of our show is exploring the dynamic and the tension between Master Chief the soldier and John the human. So we're taking the helmet off. You know, that's been this sort of controversial thing, right? Is the fan base is like, you can't do it because you're going to blow this thing. But what has been overwhelmingly amazing to feel today is all these people that were so upset that the helmet was coming off, are now saying how wonderful it is and how they're on board with it. And you know, so far, knock on wood, I'll keep my fingers crossed, all that. The fan base seems to be extremely satisfied with what we're doing, which
which is a huge, huge, huge blessing for us. And we're very happy about that.
Congratulations on that. Pablo Schreiber here on the Rich Eisen Show. So how does somebody who grows up in British Columbia with no entertainment, as you just pointed out, how does that person start to be a fan of the New York Jets? How the hell does that happen, Pablo Schreiber?
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I heard.
Because I grew up in Staten Island,
New York.
We're
in the same boat. Yeah.
We are.
No, well, so I went to college. I went to Carnegie Mellon University.
There you go.
Yeah, I know you know Joe Manganiello. We were classmates. Me, Joe, and Matt Bomer. Wow. We're all in the same class.
Oh, yeah. Does that mean you also play Dungeons & Dragons, too?
I don't. I don't. I should have, though, growing up in British Columbia and only having trees for friends.
But I just don't know if Manganiello's your guy. I mean, like,
He never roped me into the Dungeons & Dragons. I've always been a little skeptical.
He's giving like a side eye.
He never got me in.
Pablo, you spend any time at the O in Oakland back then?
Have I been to Oakland?
I know. Have you spent any time at the O in Oakland when you went to CMU?
No, not so much.
Okay.
Oh, the dining hall.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
On Forbes Avenue.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And there we had this amazing little bar right on Forbes. This was so long ago now. It's so hard to remember that place. That was 2000 I graduated. But I immediately moved to New York. That was where this story was going.
Okay.
And it was, here I am, a new kid coming to New York, and it was a choice between the Giants and the Jets.
And this was 2000.
2000. Vinny Testaverde was quarterback.
Yes, Parcells had just, I think,
He was gone. He was gone.
Right.
But not too long. Gone.
What you're saying is you heard the clarion call of Wayne Chrebet and found it too irresistible.
I found the Giants boring. I didn't like their uniforms. They were like too well behaved. Wasn't enough drama.
Corporate.
You know what I mean?
You're not a corporate man.
And I'm not a corporate guy at all.
Yes.
I'm a guy who likes a loser. I'm a guy who likes to suffer for my art and my sports teams.
You and Rich,
you know what
I
mean?
Yes, I do know.
I had it good early. I got on the Jets bandwagon. There was like 4 or 5 years there where we were mediocre. Right,
the Herm Edwards years, they smoked just Peyton Manning in the playoffs 1 year.
Couldn't quite get it going.
Just enough, sort of like if you ever play golf, you birdie 18 after having a tough 17 holes. It keeps you going.
Sexy Rexy came in like a 300 pounds of just sex. And AFC Championship 2 years in a row.
I know.
It was great.
And then
those were the wonder years.
And then
everything else.
And then not so much.
Yeah, butt fumble.
Green is the new black.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So anyway. And that wasn't yesterday. Yesterday was like the epitome of being a Jets fan. It was the ultimate experience of being a Jets fan. Not only do the Dolphins sign one of the greatest players in the NFL.
Yes.
Which alone would be like, okay, the Dolphins are getting the guy, right?
Right.
The only team in the division that maybe we could beat. They're going to get the best receiver.
Yes.
10 minutes before they get the best receiver, it's rumored maybe we're going to get the best receiver.
Correct.
It's us or the Dolphins.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which
so there were 10 minutes of like,
yes,
Tyreek's coming.
Yeah.
No.
Well, no. It's almost as if you wished you didn't know they were in on it. You know,
that's what I'm saying.
Correct. Know that they were in on it, and then he chose the Dolphins over New York. But I will just say this: I will counsel you to say that I like the general manager.
Yeah,
that he did what he had to do. You don't want to give up the 4th or the 10th overall pick. He was going to give up 2 seconds for him. And that's it. And like, that's what's going to happen. And he didn't go overboard. And then I just don't know if the Jets were ready to get Tyreek Hill. And like, it just.
I think you're right.
The slow climb here and build smart. Like, the reason why the Jets also got into trouble, Pablo Schreiber here on the Rich Eisen Show, is they spent on like players that are out, outside, like the safety and Jamal Adams in the back, or you don't spend out here.
Mm-hmm.
Get the quarterback, get the running back, get the line straight, and let's go to work. Like, that's what you got to do.
Let's do it. I'm a big supporter of this regime. Douglas.
Okay.
Saleh.
Okay.
I'm still on board. I'm still on board, you know. So let's see where it goes. Obviously, Wilson is the big question mark.
So what is it like then when the Jets disappoint and then you turn on a television set and hear your half-brother do the voiceover for it? the tracks of the misery is Liev. What happens
Well,
there,
he's Pablo? Into suffering too, you know. It's just that's what we do.
Damn it, man. I mean, just like it's just like just someone unfamiliar actually do the voiceover work.
I know, exactly. Yeah, for a while there he was Infinity, so it was like, oh great, you got like all the fancy cars and all the football teams. Like, can you leave something for me?
That's
please?
A hard knock. That's a very hard knock.
But hey, I'd like to see him play Master Chef.
That's you know what? You have no. By the way, Pablo, tell him what's going to happen. Tell him what's going to happen. Tell him what's going to happen, Chris.
Pablo, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen.
Yeah, please.
This is going to haunt Rich for at least the rest of the month.
Eat a lot longer than that.
It is going to eat at him through the springtime into the summer.
It feels like a story that you tell to a guy to make him feel better, and I'll absorb it. I'll listen to it. I think by tomorrow he's done.
Absolutely.
I think by tomorrow it's gone.
Nope.
We've just met.
No.
I have anything to say about it, he won't.
It's because going to burn a hole in his soul.
Sometime in the next few days, you should be receiving at this address a beautiful chef hat.
Oh my God.
somebody is in the green room right now, already placing the order. And it will be arriving here shortly.
Well, you know what's amazing? This is like the stepbrothers GIF. We just became best friends.
Let's talk about The Wire.
Hey. By the way, thank you. Listen, can I give you some props real quick?
Sure.
After busting your balls.
Yes.
Thank you for talking about Fredo.
Okay.
Yeah.
For The Godfather.
Yeah.
Okay. That's your favorite Godfather character?
I mean, come on. Well, because of John Cazale. And as you mentioned, the five movies, all nominated for Best Picture.
Right.
Only movies he ever appeared in his life.
Right.
That's it. Like, how do you have that career? That's just insane.
And it's tough to figure out which one he was the best in. I guess you could say
they're all good.
Right.
And he doesn't steal any of them. Like, that's an actor, right? He disappears into everything he did and was perfect for every role. How amazing.
Mm.
So thank you for saying that.
No, I appreciate you saying that, and but it's still...
Guy's got good taste.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And you and The Wire, man, season two of The Wire.
Yep.
It was a fascinating season because for fans of the show, to have the show come back, and then it was the first time that you saw that it was going to be similar, same characters, same town, but totally different storyline, essentially. Just a handful would be clearly a through line from season one to season two. Open sequence is different. The music was different.
Yep.
And it was on the docks. It was on the docks. What was that like for you as an actor to come into that show after season one and then be part of such a groundbreaking season of television?
Well, so many things going on there, right? Because it was my first TV job. So I was coming out of college, like, let's do some acting. Got cast on this show, and it's HBO. I'm like, okay, I mean, and it was the beginning of HBO, so it wasn't like what they are now. You know what I mean? It's so it had some prestige, but I watched the first season, and I was like, wow, it's cool, but the production value felt kind of low. You know, the writing was clearly super high end and interesting. But it wasn't a hit, you know. It was a small little TV show that was exploring really interesting ideas. For me, what was so fascinating already is like talking about the causes of poverty in this country, right, through the lens of one single city.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very small at that point, and it hadn't expanded at all, as you said, into what it was going to become. So I was just, I was like, okay, I'm just trying to make the most of an opportunity, really, right? My first day of work, I slept through my alarm.
Oh, no, man.
Got stopped by the police and got a speeding ticket on my way to work. Was 3 hours late to my first day of work. David Simon comes into the trailer.
I was about to ask you exactly what did he say?
On Nick Sabatka's first day on set.
Yes.
And he said, don't worry about it, son. Just come out and do your part. And walked away. And those were probably the most words he spoke to me the whole season. Maybe because I was 3 hours late on my first day.
Wow.
But, you know, the obviously for that to be my first job, so huge in establishing for me the bar of what was, you know, what to expect, right? I got spoiled for sure early on. But so much of what I've taken with me through my career was established in that season of television, right? Putting material first, writing is always leads, always.
Set two alarms.
Set two alarms. Have a backup plan.
Yes.
Oh man, it was a flip phone. Just didn't work.
Those razors, man. Those razors.
Man.
Right.
And you know, Alexa Fogel, who cast me in that, is one of the great casting directors in the industry still. So grateful to her for that.
And what a cast.
And what a cast, you know, from top to bottom. And again, like John Cazal, you know, a whole bunch of people not looking to take focus or take it. Everybody just falling into their role and doing their part. Still feel so lucky to have been a part of that.
Right. I mean, Dominic West and also Idris Elba. Michael K. Williams,
obviously.
May he rest in peace. Yep. You know, Omar.
Yep.
I have an Omar Common T-shirt. I mean, it is just an incredible show. And that was right when I think The Sopranos was obviously the big show on HBO.
Yeah, yeah. Sopranos was the popular one. Right. Wire was like the little brother that nobody really watched.
That kept on going and had even more of a sprawling cast. I mean, the number of characters that would be on that program.
Yeah.
I can't say enough about The Wire. It's truly one of my favorite shows of all time.
Yeah, yeah. And thank you. Such an honor to be a part of it. I'm still in awe of David, really, and what he did, you know, to create that thing and have all of those five seasons be so different and so interesting and investigate, as I said, those like causes of poverty through so many different angles in one city. It's just like the most beautiful canvas.
And if anybody's also just a fan of David Simon's writing and wants to see it on a daily basis, just follow him on Twitter for just 5 minutes.
He's,
see what that one's like.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Some of the most colorful language.
He can be a little surly.
280 characters. He's a block party, no doubt about that. And then Orange is the New Black. How was that experience for you,
Paul? That was amazing. Another weird one where, you know, it was Netflix. So at the very beginning of Netflix, I had this interesting history of like catching these services right at the beginning. Right. It was their first show. Well, the Kevin Spacey one came first.
Right. Yeah, House of Cards. Right.
And we were right after that.
Correct.
Right? And House of Cards hadn't been released. So it was we were making them. They were going to come out first. We were making this tiny little show about women's prison. Right. Women in prison.
Yes.
Women of all different types and sizes and colors, right? At the time, now it's like, oh yeah, that's what TV is, right? But at the time, it was like, who's going to watch this? Is there going to be an audience for this?
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people, as we were making it, were feeling that. Like, that's cool. Like, let's make it and see what happens. But, and I was in an interesting part of my career too. I had two kids at that point, had done a couple of network shows. And was really in this place where, you know, to pay the bills or whatever. I was like the guy from The Wire, man. I started my career on The Wire. And now, right before Orange is the New Black, I had been fired from a CBS pilot that went to series without me. And it was, I won't name any names, but it was not great, you know. And I was the guy from this great television show who was now getting fired from CBS procedurals that were not great. And Orange is the New Black, I just kind of, Genji, I had done Weeds with her.
Yes.
And she called me up and was like, I got this little part on this women's TV show. Would you come in and try on a mustache for me and see if it works? I was like, yeah, I'll try on a mustache, Genji. Sure. We tried it. It worked. And
creepy, I'll be honest.
Very creepy. Yeah, yeah, of course. Listen, I'll be honest. That was the point.
That was the whole point. Yeah. Yep.
And the hair, it wasn't just the mustache, it was the hair.
The whole thing.
I walked in, I was like, give me the Dolph Lundgren cut from Rocky IV. Right? And they were like, easy, done.
It was a vibe.
With a porn stash, boom. And you know, and the rest is history. Obviously that show became hugely successful and exceeded everybody's expectations and kind of hit. And so that was like the second building block for me to kind of move forward and get to have a bit of another chance.
And on Paramount Plus, which is, not, if I'm not mistaken, a very CBS-centric organization in a way, too. Right?
It is. And also, how about this? A sort of new streaming service about to build take off.
That's what you do for a living, man.
Listen, I make streaming services.
You do. You make dreams come true. You make them come true.
You're welcome, HBO and Netflix and Paramount Plus. Yes. Guys, I'm here for you.
You are indeed. You are indeed. So, what do you want to tell fans of Halo? What do you want? What can you tell them? What can you want to? What do you want to?
Oh man, come on over and check it out, because I think for hardcore fans of the game, it's going to feel like a very familiar universe, you know, that they loved and played in for so long, and they get to experience it in a completely different way because of the nature of the medium. You know what I mean? It's not a first person shooter. It's a long form television series. And through the process of a long form television series, we're going to get to know this character in a way that you never did in the game. And hopefully that'll be rewarding for people. And I think it will be rewarding for new fans as well. And that's one thing I'm really excited about, is because I fell in love with all the Halo mythology over the last 3 years learning about it. So now to get to expose it to a whole new group of people and show them why we love this universe so much is really part of the thrilling thing for me. So
congrats.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Congrats on it. And you got a good Manganiello story you want to hose him on before you go out the door?
Oh, my God, absolutely I do. How about this one?
Okay.
Drama school. Sophomore year.
Carnegie Mellon. Pittsburgh, PA.
Joe was always a very intense guy. You know, he wanted to take his scenes to the fullest.
Okay.
Really wanted to lose himself. In his scenes,
kind of still is like that, I think, a little bit.
I was describing it as something that might feel familiar if you know the guy.
Okay, very good. Yeah.
So sophomore year, he plays a character. I don't remember why he had this instinct, but he decided that he was going to knock one of his teeth out.
Huh?
What?
What do you mean he's going to knock one of his teeth?
Ask him about this.
For a scene, like, what is he playing?
He wanted to have a tooth knocked out for his scene. He wanted to have a missing front tooth.
Uh-huh. So makeup wasn't good enough for him? Or
I don't know. It's college.
He chipped his tooth. And it wasn't just like a little nick. Like
What'd he do? Did he?
I actually don't know how he did it. I don't know if it was let's get that part of the story. Because he knocked out his front tooth.
Wow. All right, let's FaceTime Joe right
FaceTime
now.
Joe,
get him on the phone.
Let's FaceTime Joe.
Get him on the phone.
Okay, my goodness.
Do we FaceTime or you just want to call him up?
It felt a little bit like that Laurence Olivier, Dustin Hoffman story, you know? It's like... Yeah,
just act.
Try act.
Exactly. Yeah, try act.
You said try act.
For people who don't know, what's that story again? What is that?
Oh, so Marathon Man.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Laurence Olivier, Dustin Hoffman. It's the most famous acting story. Dustin Hoffman being like the new guard of method actors.
Right.
And he's running around outside huffing and puffing, slept in the gutter or something like this, and comes to do this scene where Olivier's pulling his tooth.
Yes, indeed.
Right?
Is it safe? Right.
And Dustin Hoffman is doing his method acting thing, and Olivier looks over at him and he says, "Have you ever tried acting before?"
Fantastic. All right. Pablo Schreiber, everybody, thank you for being on this program. I can't wait to see more of you as the Master Chief and Halo.
Nailed it.
Dude.
Nailed it.
I am just literally not going to work tomorrow.
You're coming to work tomorrow.
Your line from back in the day, Rich, broiling in your own sweat.
That's me. At Schreiber _Pablo on Twitter, at official Pablo Schreiber on Instagram. Check out Halo, starting to stream it today exclusively on Paramount+.
It's on. Get on there, Paramount+.
I would say, you know, like Donkey Kong. But that's it's a different type of video.
No, this is like the...
Okay, Mike, I got it. You used to play Halo, you were good at it. He's so dying to tell you.
What's your handle,
about,
Mike? What's your handle?
Do you have to run?
I'm here, man.
Okay,
I'm
all right,
here.
Let's stay right, start right where you are. We'll finish up the show with Pablo Schreiber in a moment. He's so dying to tell you his Halo story. Yes, you are, Mike.
You're in it now, buddy. There's no getting out of this one.
We'll see if we can get Manganiello on the phone. Okay, there we go. Take a break.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back here on the program, Brockman, Pablo Schreiber's still here. Sorry, I don't normally just offhandedly just throw that out, you know, like I'm treating you like you're always here all the time.
New number?
I am now.
Just here we go. We're going to get Manganiello on the phone. Do you want to fill time by telling Pablo Schreiber your Halo playing experience?
Halo's a very in-depth, like, kind of game.
I know, we just had an interview about it.
I know, and I'm explaining this because you didn't play it. That's what I'm saying, because you didn't play, Rich.
Did I betray that by calling him Master Chef?
Because I was waiting for Bobby Flay or what's his name to come in.
Dude, I'm going to be killing myself over this.
Seriously, he really is going to. He's going to think about this.
I love it. I'm
going
to rub it.
But Halo, it's weird. You're right. When you see that, like when you guys like talk and stuff, because you're not used to that in the game.
Yeah.
The helmet's always on.
Tell him your story.
I played Halo with my best friend, Rob, who I've known for 35 years.
Yeah.
Moved out from New Jersey with me years ago. But we played the first one. Like, he's like, you got to play this game. We played it in like a day and a half. We were probably up 20 hours.
Yeah.
The second game, the day it came out, we got it and played it. I could see the fan base. Now, when you see this in like real life, it's insane. It's like, because you're used to that game.
Yeah.
Like everything that they did. And the Master Chief, who's like there the whole time with you, because he kind of trained
you.
And you're him. Well, in the beginning, in the training, I'm saying before, because you work with another, but you're the Master Chief the whole time. And when you play with another guy, the game is like that. I wasn't like a fan after of the Halo after like the I think we played up like three or four.
Is this good for you?
No,
or is
it's
this,
fine.
Are you fine right now?
No,
this is a great story.
Okay, good.
But this I will watch.
I'm like you with James Caan. Hanging on his every word.
Like, I didn't have enough time to play it after like the third or fourth one because I worked so much. That I want to watch this really bad now because
that makes me happy to hear that.
Because it looks amazing.
Yeah.
It looks
amazing. Yeah, the visuals are pretty stunning.
Do you follow the gameplay like the way it was like? Do they follow the way the game?
No, the storyline doesn't follow the game. It's set in the universe and there will be things that will intersect and you know, come through, but it doesn't follow the exact plot of the game.
No, but it's amazing.
Yeah.
Pablo, you know what else you were in that I really loved was Lights Out.
Oh, yeah, one season of Lights Out.
There was Holt McElhaney. It just didn't get... I wanted an ending.
Yes,
but
that show was great.
I love that show.
Yeah, little boxing show. I always thought we should have been making an MMA show.
Oh, okay.
And the showrunner at the time, Warren Light, he and I were talking a lot. And so I was the younger brother of the heavyweight champion of the world in the boxing world.
Yeah.
And the next season we were going to go into MMA, and I was going to go forward as the MMA fighter.
Oh, okay.
But we didn't get to do it.
Yeah, I was a big fan of that show, man.
Is the caller on the phone line right now?
He is on the phone line.
Okay, Joe Manganiello, are you there?
I'm here.
We're live on the Rich Eisen show. Remember the old show, This Is Your Life? Remember that show?
Yeah.
Where you have to tell see if you recognize a voice from the past?
Sure.
Okay. My in-studio guest, live on the Rich Eisen show, do you want to say something to see if he guesses who you are?
Have you ever played a chicken? Have you ever been an actor playing a chicken at a county fair?
You bet your ass I
do. Do you want to guess who this is, Joe?
Oh, man. I mean, well, okay, so what you're referring to is this little scene I did from a play called Coco Van as Ooh. Part of my Carnegie Mellon showcase.
Yes, so you're getting there. You're getting there.
In New York and in L.A.
Okay.
It's a male voice. I need him to keep talking more. Can I get another clue?
Yeah. Did you ever, in sophomore year, take a scene so far that you decided to remove your own tooth?
Joe Manganiello.
That's right. That was freshman year. Yeah.
Freshman year.
Yeah. Lady Breeze. I shaved my head bald and pulled my tooth out with a loaf of French bread.
We were wondering how you did it.
This was the reason for the call. We needed to know how you got the tooth out, because I forgot that part of the story.
So I got hit in the face with a baseball bat when I was 9. And
this part I didn't know.
Yeah, and I'm missing 2 out of 4 of my front teeth. They just blasted in half.
I forgot this.
And so, yeah, I don't know. The character kept complaining about how he had his tooth chipped, and he played Frankenstein live on stage. It was this play called Lady Breeze by John Guare. Really odd play. And then he was getting syphilis. It was kind of crazy. So I just, you know, I was like, oh, I was playing Frankenstein. It's an animated corpse. He probably had to be operated on in the head. You know, so I'll shave my head bald. And then I was like, oh, I have chipped teeth. I'll just get a get a loaf of French bread. Just start working that thing out. And then pop. And the problem was that I didn't. Looking back, I should have told the actors I was acting with ahead of time that I was going to go through such a radical transformation, because the scene starts out and this girl's on stage doing a monologue, and I come out from behind the risers, and I was back there. I had super poly gripped my tooth in so nobody would know, and I wore a ski cap so nobody would see that my head was bald. So I came out, bald-headed, no teeth. And she, the look on her face, and she went up on her line. and forgot her line, and then like blamed me for it, and the teachers wanted to throw me out of school, and it was a whole big ordeal. yeah, you're correct.
So do you know who this is that we're talking to right here, Joe?
I mean, it's got to be somebody in my class, but I'm trying to think of who's voiced it, because
I'm a transformational actor, Joe. It's been a long time since I played that other actor at the county fair.
Is this Pablo
playing a chicken?
Star of Halo.
I figured that'd be somebody in my class, but I'm thinking, okay, it's not, I'm like, it's not Bomer, it's not, and I haven't talked to in a while, so I'm trying, like, who is that Pablo? Like, so I'm trying, looking for the accent.
He told us a story that you popped your own damn tooth out, and Carnegie Mellon, we got to get it, but he did not know how you did it, so it was a loaf of French bread.
Yeah.
How about that?
That's it.
You're committed, yeah. Man.
I love you, Big
Pablo,
Joe.
My chicken brother.
Yes, man. Good to hear your voice.
All right, I've got 90 seconds left. So how come you never asked Pablo to play Dungeons & Dragons with him?
I would have. I mean, does Pablo want to play Dungeons & Dragons? Yeah, you guys laugh. It's not that different from Halo, okay?
It's true. Pablo wants to see his buddy Joe, but I'm not sure about the Dungeons & Dragons.
Here's the deal. You guys can hang out. Just leave your 20-sided die at home, Joe.
All right, Rich, I'm going to call you with the time, and you're going to come over, and we're going to get this thing going.
I'll bring the French bread.
There we go.
All right, man.
Careful.
Take care of yourself, brother.
All right.
Thanks, okay. Good to see you, buddy.
There you go. Bringing people together.
That's what it is. That was a reunion.
One tooth at a time. That was fantastic.
I'm staying away from trench bread.
Joe's like,
now
why
on.
Are you guys bothering me?
What's going on? Like,
what is going on?
Oh, man. Okay, so Halo can be seen on Paramount Plus starting today. The man who's bringing Master Chief to light.
Nailed it.
Man who's upset that once Tyreek Hill was no longer a chief, he wasn't a Jet.
Oh.
Pablo Schreiber, everybody.
That's all right. We'll get another good player. Right?
Right?
Chief is always the draft.